Hey everybody, how's it going? This is Samori Swiger, the director, editor of Chef Gang Podcast. What we're doing right here is the director's cut, where I have my say, my input on what we filmed, and just everything that went on in the process from all the different episodes. Just get my input, my feelings, and just sharing it with you guys raw. So I'll be bouncing in and out of the footage here and there, just so you can kind of get my take on everything. But I'm very, very, very blessed to give my commentary on this. This is something that, this was a brainchild of Chef Henry and Chef Kim to really highlight, expose, and provide some insight to people about the culinary world, the culinary industry, especially through the eyes and the skin of black people and you know, people of color that work in the culinary industry. So much to be unpacked. And so all these different episodes gave me so much knowledge. You know, I'm in the healthcare and the medical field. I just do video editing and filming on the side. That's just what I like doing extracurricularly. So they tapped me to kind of help bring this concept, this brainchild, into labor and into birth. And this is where we're at. So I'm going to start right here and let this kind of play out. This is Chef Henry. He was given his breakdown on how he did his tail of three birds for Thanksgiving. He did a smoked bird with applewood, cherry wood, and it was another one. Then he did an oven roasted one, and then he did a fried one. So I'm with this rock out. Like I said, I'll pop back in here and there.
No, and what we think is to be the thickest part.
Okay.
Because that's going to give you the best temperature. And if you look, come in close, you see that? Those are really clear juices flowing from the turkey. That's another way you know that it's done. You know what I'm saying? So we want to get it to about 165 degrees. And the thickest part right now is at 165 degrees. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually pull it. You know what I'm saying? And let it rest so that the carryover heat will bring it up a little bit, about a few more, you know, a few more degrees. And then we good to go. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to bring y'all into my little lab and see how I do most of my preparation. But this is a good bird. This is done well. Happy with this. I got another one out in the electric joint. So I'm going to show you the difference between cooking and, you know, with actual wood and cooking in the electric joint. So,
you know, one of the things I like about filming with Chef Gang Podcast is it's packed with so many different tips on how to cook. So I basically learn on hand on how to optimize all my dishes as somebody that's not a cook.
Today, and we're going to be here doing these podcasts to talk some real life, real raw shit just about the restaurant game itself. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're here to first explore, and then we're going to inform, and then we're going to educate. Right now, we're really talking about black chefs, yep. Chefs of color. You know what I'm saying? That's right. What we're really honing in mm-hmm. on. Like, right. You know, a chef is a chef is a chef. We could all cook, but right now, I think the disparity in the industry mm-hmm. comes when we have conversations about chefs of color. People just think that they're totally abandoning the whole professional side of cooking. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck is going on these days? Because the way I came through the industry, you had to earn that title. Being a certified chef my entire career, I've seen a lot of food and I'm classically trained, so I know food's supposed to be like this.
You know, you got a lot of people that's out there that think they can cook. I feel what we see out here right now on social media, when it comes to the food and the culinary industry, is disrespectful. It's just blatant disrespect. Like that's not real cooking. Like, real cooking comes from the heart.
So let's talk about culinary school. So I went to culinary school in the late 90s. Actually, cooking didn't find, I didn't find cooking found me. You know what Nowadays, it seems like culinary schools are just turning and burning kids out. Yeah. So for profit now, they're giving them probably half the education that they gave us and turning them out in the world, and these kids can't cook for shit.
So I think culinary school taught us passion and the love of cooking and the science behind cooking. I know there's a lot of science behind this. And the chefs that taught you had a passion for it. Yeah. And so when you were taught from people that had a passion for what they do, it kind of just made me, like, made you want to be more proud and stick your chest out. Like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. I'm in culinary school. It's what I want to do. I'm going to put, you know, and it's just a whole different dynamic. But
a lot of chefs I see that come through are just like what we're talking about. Like, they don't want to put in the work.
They don't.
They don't want to cook.
No.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of long hours and long days, and you know, you gotta work holidays, you gotta work weekends, and you gotta work nights, and you gotta take time away from your family, and so forth and so on, to feed other people. And I just don't think that these days the chefs of color are looking to put that kind of work in to somebody else's restaurant. I mean, my question is, whatever happened to the black executive chef? Where is he? There is acute and direct degrees of racism and cultural disenfranchisement and things like that in the restaurant industry. Can we blame the internet chefs for what they do? Is it a valid hustle? I'm just wondering, is the culinary game dead? Is the chef game dead? You know what I'm saying? Can we save it out here?
You know, get this black chef community back where it needs to be.
So that was the first trailer that shot, edited for the very, very first installment of Chef Gang podcast. Chef Henry really enjoyed it. It was raw to the point. It kind of got to where the emotions, the seat of their emotions, you know, they really enjoyed it. When I got the feedback that I got from it, it gave me more motivation and drive to continue doing what we're doing. And shoot, you know, we're like, what, 7 episodes in now? Like, you know, it's a lot. So anyway, back to Chef Henry.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to let it go so that you can get, you know, the smoke to be clean. So we're going to close out. As you can see, well, it's kind of dark, but this is hit like 225 or 200. It's gonna hit 225, it's gonna hit 3. See, that's climbing, right? That's because all that heat from the firebox is now trapping in here. But you can't smoke like that. You gotta smoke what they call slow and low.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's climbing. Like I said you before, this is what I call my accelerator. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when I open it up, that's my gas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When I need to slow it down and build some more heat in the box, I close it. I press the brake. When I want it to cook and I want it to circulate, I open my gas.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's dark, but I can still see that smoke is like gray.
All right, so this is our very, very first episode that we shot.
What's up, everybody? Chef Henry Dudley, also known as Chef Hent Dogs, also known as at Chef Henry Dudley on Instagram. You're now tuning in to Chef Gang Radio, aka the Chef Gang Podcast. Really quick, a little bit about myself. 24-year veteran in the culinary industry. I've been a sous chef, executive chef, corporate executive chef, food and beverage director. You name it, I've probably done it in this game. And we're here today, and we're going to be here doing these podcasts to talk some real life, real raw shit just about the restaurant game itself. The good, the bad, the ugly, you know, catering, everything. You know what I'm saying? We're here to first explore, and then we're going to inform, and then we're going to educate. My co-host, I'm gonna swing it to them. Chef,
you don't know my name.
Gotta tell the world. You gotta introduce yourself.
That was a very good introduction, Chef Henry Dudley. Thank you. Hey, everybody. My name is Chef Kimberly Van Kline, also known as Passion for the Palate, also known as at Chef Kim Van Kline on Instagram. Basically, I'm a caterer, a.k.a. the Catering Queens, what I've been called. I'm the person that you want to come to for high-end, upscale cocktail parties, weddings, things of that nature. That's what my specialty is in. I love taking very, very unique, classical, classic meals, entrees, and flipping them into small bites with big flavor. That's what I'm known for. I'm very happy to be a part of this podcast because it's been a long time coming. But, you know, as you know, everything has to be done in this divine time. And so I feel the time is now because there's a lot of things out here in this culinary industry that basically just sickens me to my stomach, to say the least.
And no pun intended.
No pun intended. And I love the millennials and I love what some of them are doing, but some of y'all need to get your little throat snatched up and bring it back to where it needs to be come from. Some of y'all ain't got no home training. So we're going to take this podcast and we're going to just make it a platform for everybody to come in, feel free to voice their opinions, give their feedbacks, and just help get this black chef community back where it needs to be. I'm going to now over to our next boy, which is Rael, and he's going to take it from here.
Yeah. Well, thank you all. Thank you so much. I'm Rael Bradley. I'm a restaurant manager. I'm a general manager at this point at the Granite City Food and Brewery in the National Harbor, for those who don't know. Come see me. I've been in this industry for about 8 to 10 years, on and off. I know the ins and outs. I live for, you know, the details in it all.
Right.
I'm very corporate restaurant-esque, so I know all the ins and outs. It's just what I live for. That's what my passion is. It's definitely the restaurant life. So just here to add my insights from that and, you know, shake it up a bit.
Cool.
Shake it up.
So we ain't here to just have fun. We're here to talk some shit and to get down to the bottom of some stuff. But at the same time, I want to make sure that, you know what I mean, we are educating the population about the restaurant game. You know what I'm saying? You can pick up your phone at any time and go on Instagram, go on Facebook, and you're going to see a whole lot of shit. Mm-hmm. Right? Being a certified chef my entire career, I've seen a lot of food, and I'm classically trained, so I know food's supposed to be like this. At least that's what I was told, right? That's how I was trained. Mm-hmm. But you see all type of crazy shit going on right now. You see chefs that are just selling food online. You see guys that are, you know what I'm saying, that the presentations ain't looking good. People just think that they're totally abandoning the whole professional side of cooking. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck is going on these days?
You know, it's interesting just hearing them talk, because as an industry outsider, you don't really realize what's going on in certain industries until you're actually deep involved inside. And you can see, you can hear them talk about the bastardizing or the corruption or the mutation of the traditional culinary experience and teaching and the appreciation for the craft and the art. But as an outsider, you don't really think about that. You know, you just say, I just want my food. I just want it cooked, I want it clean, and I want it to taste good. But you don't think about all the other things.
Everybody don't get a trophy, right?
I'm like, come on, people. You know your child. You know that little motherfucker can't sing.
Right.
And you put him out there on mainstream media doing the, you know, these YouTube videos, and that's going to do more damage to their self-esteem than anything else.
Right.
You got to be honest with your kids. And I feel what we see out here right now on social media when it comes to the food and the culinary industry is disrespectful. It's just blatant disrespect. Like, you got to look at, where's the passion? There's no passion. Like, I'm tired. If I see another motherfucking lobster tail fried and another crab fried in the shell on mac and cheese and all this gravy on it, I'm going to shoot myself. Like, real talk. Like, that's not real cooking. Like, real cooking comes from the heart. Mm-hmm. How we said, when you do gumbo, you just said this. You know good gumbo. You make good gumbo. It's a process to that. Yep. There's no shortcuts right. in a real authentic gumbo. There's no shortcuts.
It's love.
And right. And I feel all the social media gives these gives people these so-called, and I'm going to call it this, IG chefs. And don't get me wrong here. I happen to be classically trained. So have you. I don't know if you know, so you didn't go to culinary school. Mm-mm. Right, but he manages the whole restaurant by himself, and he's really good at it. But what I will say is that you don't have to be classically trained. It all starts with the love in your heart, mm-hmm. and it all starts with passion. I don't believe school can teach you how to cook.
Yes.
I believe school can teach you technique. It can teach you the lingo of the kitchen. It can teach you how to run a restaurant, hospitality, all these things. Cooking comes from within.
So let's talk about culinary school. So I went to culinary school in the late 90s, right? Right out of college, did my own thing with the record industry for a while. Went to culinary school because actually cooking I didn't find cooking found me. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I never had any intent on being a chef. Cooking was a side hustle to me just from the simple fact that coming from my family was second nature. I was good at it.
Right. What do you mean cooking found you?
Meaning that I did not seek out to be a professional chef. You know what I mean? With my grandmother teaching me how to cook and being a latchkey kid and cooking on my own and so forth and so on for survival purposes, you get what I'm saying? It wasn't in me to be like, yo, I'm going to grow up and be a chef one day. You understand what I'm saying? I wanted to be a record company executive. That was my thing. You know what I'm saying?
And then
I was doing a record company job during the day, and I was supplementing my income at night and work cooking in a restaurant. It so happened I was good at it. The chef convinced me that this is what I should do with my life. I went to culinary school part-time. I've been rocking with it ever since. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it found me. I didn't find it. I wasn't looking for it. It's kind of like falling in love with a girl that you never thought you was going to fall in love. They just dropped out this air one day. And you're like, oh, shit, now I'm in love. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of the same thing with that.
But did you feel the same way? Did you feel that that's what you'd be doing with your life? When he felt that about you, when he came to
you? Nah, I didn't. It took me some time to really figure it out and look at my hands and look at what I was presenting and what I was doing and look at what other people was doing. I was on the same level as them. So it's just a natural progression for me. And it's culinary school just fine-tuned all that. It taught me, I was cooking, but I didn't know why. When I got to culinary school, I learned why, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I learned technique. Yep. I learned how to do this. I learned, you know, a process of how to get from butter to butter sauce. I learned how to get from mother sauces and derivatives and so forth and so on and sauce mm-hmm. and da da da. So with that said, nowadays it seems like culinary schools are just turning and burning kids out. Mm-hmm. It's so for profit now. It's so for profit now. They're giving them probably half the education that mm-hmm. they gave us and turning them out in the world, and these kids can't cook for shit. Mm-mm. So they go into these, this is my opinion, they go into these restaurants and they're working, they're getting their asses kicked on the line. They don't want to do that kind of work. They don't want to put that type of work into it. And then they come out, they go on IG and take the little bit that they learned in the kitchen, and all of a sudden they chef such and such, and chef this and chef that. When all along they just glorified line cooks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They were line cooks that learned a little bit, and they jumped out the window. So am I being unfair in that assessment? Or
now, how long did it take you to really feel comfortable saying that you were a chef? After culinary school, I'm saying. How many years do you feel it took you to really say and be confident in that, knowing that you owned your craft at that point, to say, you know what, now I can call myself a chef?
It took me some time because of the way I came through the industry, you had to earn that title. Mm-hmm. Just because you went to school for it doesn't mean, like, you don't go to law school, then you walk out of law school.
And all of a sudden you're like,
you're an attorney.
You're a doctorate, and you're like, bam.
Right, you understand what I'm saying? So it took time for me to get to that point. When I first got my first business card that said, Henry Dudley, sous chef, to me, okay, I'm a chef now. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And I had to work my way to that. Nowadays, like, people will just go online and say, call themselves anything.
Right. Right.
So my concern is, like, you know, I'm gonna throw this question to y'all. What is that doing to the industry? That's the first question. And the second question is, can we blame the internet chefs for what they do? Is it a valid hustle?
I think for me, so my story is different. So I was always corporate. I didn't go to culinary school until I was in my late 30s, approaching 40. But I always loved to cook. I was always that girl that you came to my classroom, or you came to my house. I was cooking. I was doing pans back in the day out my house, Lenox Terrace. I was selling fried fish and chicken and ribs and all this kind of stuff. Always loved to, and was really good at cooking. So I could always cook because I had a grandmother that can cook. And I was taught that at a very young age. When I went to school, reality set in, because now I'm coming from a six-figure income in the corporate world, being in my job for over 15 years, to now I want to be a chef. But when I made that transition, I wasn't ready for such the salary.
Right.
You know,
so this was career change
for you. This
was
career change.
This was later on in life.
Right.
This wasn't straight out of high school. I want to be a chef.
I already established myself. I had bills up the ass at this point.
Right.
And I had to make a decision. Like, okay, I'm going to do this. I was smart in the fact that, and got lucky in the fact, and thank you God, that he gave a package. So the package that we got, I had so many years in the company. I got a really nice, hefty package that I can kind of, you know, come out, leave the job, resign with a nice package, nice 401k, set that aside, paid my rent up for a year, and now I'm going to dive into this culinary world and get my ass kicked. I did an internship. I started going to the Hamptons cooking. I worked this place, that place. I learned very early on, I did not want to be in a restaurant. I learned that very early on.
Come on, you didn't want that smoke?
Very early on.
Come on, man.
I worked for John George, right? And I worked at a place he had named JoJo's. And it was in Manhattan. It was in Lexington Avenue. It was in the Brownstone. Really high-end French fine dining at its finest, right? The sous chef there, West Indian dude, was just fucking disrespectful. You know, I'm trying to work the line and do my job, but if he made another sexist joke or said something sideways at his face, I was gonna punch him in his fucking mouth. So it got to the point that it got so bad.
One of the funny things I like about Chef Gang is Kim. Chef Van Cline, and she's just raw with it. Like she has her emotions and she has her truth, as she stands in both of them firmly, and she doesn't hold back, you know, her feelings. And sometimes when she'll just tell you some of her stories, you just sit back and laugh, like, wow, this is crazy.
I ended up where I'm at now.
Right.
And that's what spoke to me, and that's been my journey, and I've been very successful at it. What was your other question?
So, I mean, we were talking about culinary schools, but also we're
the
talking about
IG chefs.
Like the IG chefs. So take them your experience and like later on in life, you was like, yo, I feel like this is what I want to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how different is that from what the IG chefs are doing now?
Right. So when I became, when I went to culinary school and got out and was doing my thing and traveling, going to Hamptons and cooking for all these people, then started doing a couple of Food Network shows and this and the third, IG had just come out. Something had just come out. It wasn't really something that's out there that you can go in there and put your food up there and talk smack and get feedback. Right. And it's then the third. So then when me and you met, that's when that wave started.
Right.
Like, there was a IG page called Cooking for Bay. And he was just putting...
Cooking for Bay is still rocking, too.
Right.
Shout out to Cooking for Bay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You didn't come up here and show your face, you know what I mean, to the Chef Gang Radio podcast.
Exactly. Because this dude's page is funny. Because he posted stuff that people put, and in their mind,
they think they're doing some shit.
They think they're doing something.
And, for bae.
Right. Cooking for bae. But the shit be fucked up. It be all kind of, what was that shit? It was chicken and waffles and a burger. It was a chicken, waffles, lettuce, tomatoes, like the fucking chicken and waffle Big Mac.
Nah, some dude did a cake. The cake was all meatloaf and mashed potatoes was the frosting.
What?
And he had chicken wings on top of it as a decoration, like carrot cake. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and they was doing something. And so I think what happens is that this just shows the lack of you going to a real classically trained school. Because had you gone to school, you're not putting no shit out there that looked like that.
Right.
This is what I was talking about, where you look and you listen to the stories and the perceptions from Chef Henry and Chef Kim. And you see how they evaluate things from a classically trained chef, culinarian. And then they look at how, like I said, I think bastardization is the correct word. The bastardization of cooking is happening. And you don't really pay attention to it until you have real professionals show you this. And then you're like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. This is crazy. What's happening out here? And how social media is a platform where accept everything. Accept everything that's provided to you. And people becoming stars and being famous for putting together shit.
But for the culinarians, I think that level of that IG chef that you feel, that comes through the restaurant industry too.
Mm-hmm.
People feel like, you know, I make plates. To me, it's the same. Because it's right. Like, mm-hmm. I make plates, so I mean, that makes me a chef. No, that doesn't make you a chef.
It means you're making plates.
That means you know how to make a plate. And right. your plates aren't even that great.
Right.
You know? But you see a lot of that. You see a lot of people who just are glorified cooks. And in the restaurant industry, if you're not with a brand that hones in on the chefs, you find a lot of that throughout your entire
right.
brand.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, this was a cook, and, you know, they're dedicated, and, you know, they show up. Anybody can show up.
Anybody can show up.
I can have a dishwasher show up. Does that make him
right.
a good chef?
Right.
No. But a lot of times, that's what we get. And I've seen plenty of people, the high level, the low level, the mid level, and it fluctuates so much because they know how to make something look good, or they know how to talk about something. Like, I had an executive chef. He could talk a good game. Good game. Like, just because he knew about jicama.
Mm-hmm.
They got so excited. Oh, you know what jicama is? You know. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Okay, so just because in this area most people don't know what jicama is, doesn't make him executive chef quality because he knows one thing that someone else doesn't.
Right.
That's a cultural issue.
Right.
Right.
You know,
right.
that's not a
maybe he grew up with jicama.
Right. That look at his nationality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, of course he knows what jicama is.
Right.
So and a lot of times, like, in the restaurant industry, like, we, especially in, like, my position, we kind of get handed these executive chefs
mm-hmm.
who kind of are just, like, home cooks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're not even good at that.
Right, right,
they're just
right.
like, you know what, I've been around.
That's one thing I see a lot. A lot of chefs, and I'm not going to name drop, but there's a lot of chefs in the DMV area, black chefs at mm-hmm. that. You know what I mean? Because right now, we're really talking about black chefs, yep. chefs of color. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
what we're really honing in
mm-hmm.
on. Like,
right.
you know, a chef is a chef is a chef. We could all cook, but right now, I think the disparity in the industry
mm-hmm.
comes when we have conversations about chefs of color. You get what I'm saying? And a lot of chefs I see that come through are just like what we're talking about. Like, they don't want to put in the work.
They don't.
They don't want to cook.
No.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of long hours and long
mm-hmm.
days and
yep.
you know, you gotta work holidays and you gotta
yep.
work weekends
yep.
and you gotta work nights and
yep.
you gotta take time away from your family and
mm-hmm.
so forth and so on to feed other people. And I just don't think that these days the chefs of color are looking to put that kind of work in to somebody else's restaurant.
Right.
I think there's another thing too. As filming all of these different episodes, getting that insider perspective, we really don't think about the lifestyle of chefs, the quality of life and that work-life balance. If you talk to a lot of professional chefs, which I've had the opportunity to work in and develop in the Chef Gang podcast, you'll start to understand and learn that there's a horrible work-life balance in quality of life, simply because of the demands on their time. It's ridiculous. And the pacing of all the work that needs to be done, high stress, high volume, exactness. It's a lot of pressure, a lot of time demand, so many constraints. So that was something that was very unique and eye-opening to me, and I could appreciate it.
That in my pocket,
that's not a good move. And then and you used it, but a lot of times, especially our people, we're not receptive of that failure to use it as a stepping block to get to where we want to be. That everyone tells us, oh, you want to work for the man. Listen, child, the man is paying the bills and he ain't got no problem doing it. So I'm going to let him pay for a little bit. I want to get to a point where it's mine.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to take ownership of what I have, this space, because if I continue to have that ownership of it, when I move into my own, I will always also have that ownership. But if I don't have that ownership now, you're not going to be able to just click on it like that. You're going to click on it once you start realizing that all your money's gone.
Well, I mean, my question is, whatever happened to the black executive chef? Where is he?
Burnt out.
yeah. A lot of us burn out. A lot of us, when you talk about that pressure that a lot of chefs are under, you know, a lot of the African-American chefs, they can't handle, or they haven't historically been able to handle that kind of pressure. And or is it that they can't handle it? Is it that they don't want to put that work into it because they don't feel like they're getting monetarily, you know what I'm saying? You know, I always push back when people say in the industry that black people are lazy. I don't think that black people are lazy. I think black people always gauge how much work I'm going to do versus how much I'm getting paid. And we tend to do that more than to say, okay, well,
let me just do my job and then and then make it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me just do my job and, like, kind of jump out there and make it happen, you know? Because that's where I'm at. Like, I feel like I make as much? I make enough?
Right.
Not necessarily. I make enough to, like, do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I'm going to put me on the table. Like, what's up? It couldn't be done. I just did it. Where's my money?
Right.
And then I can argue with that.
I think another piece to that, important piece, is that, say, an executive black chef already is not getting paid the same money as a white executive chef. And I think even in this whole industry, we are always the lower paid. You know what I'm saying? Outside of the Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're always the lowest paid when it comes to a white person coming in that don't even do the work that we can do, but they get paid more money than what they should get paid. And I think when we go into something getting that, you go into this whole mindset of that, why am I going to put all this extra work in this when I'm not going to get paid for it, get compensated for it anyway, but yet this white boy can come up here that has not done half of what I've done, been to culinary school, trained under another chef, but yet he's in my seat, and now he can actually take my job and get more money.
There's a lot of people who are going to watch this show and listen to this show who are they're just on the customer end, they're on the patronage end, they're not, you know, and it's time for us to kind of pull the cover off of that so people can really understand everything that's going on while you're sitting there and
just
you're just trying to enjoy yourself in a restaurant. There's a
whole
culture.
Whole other world.
There's
culture
a whole other world
going on right as you sit
behind
there.
That wall. And there is acute and direct degrees of racism and cultural disenfranchisement and things like that in the restaurant industry.
But before you get to that, I want to double back. When you talked about culinary schools and how they just taking money from these kids and giving them false hopes and dreams and setting a third. Remember City Table?
Mm-hmm.
The young girl that came and spoke to us and wanted a job there.
Mm-hmm.
And we put her on a trial day. So she said, oh, I'm from New York. I'm from Harlem, this, that, and the third.
She was co-signing all day.
Because I'm like, you know, I'm from Harlem, so I got to rep my borough. You know what I'm saying? So I'm repping Harlem. He said, yeah, boo, that's you. That's your girl. Go rep Harlem. I'm like, all right. So she come out, told, you know, we made her speak, and she said, yeah, I could cook. I could do this. I know how to cook in the kitchen. Mind you, she's in a culinary program, right? In a program. But it's like, you know, I want to come in a trail one day. Mm-hmm. I want to work here, then the third. So we put it through the process. Henry had to come in. She was late.
Oh,
but then she gets there.
Right.
And we gave her, like, what, 5 things to do? Cut up onions, prep crab cake mix,
just
basic stuff. She got there, like, 10-something.
It was she got there at she's supposed to be there at 9. She got there about 9:30. She started working at 10.
Right.
She finished the list about 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Right. for these basic things. So after she's done, and then she's slow as hell, but you tell me you cook.
Right, because you're supposed to
like, you tell me that you're going to do all this already, right? And so we sat down with her after, so we said, how do you think you did?
Yep.
Well, I know it's a little slow, and, you know, I got a little late, and I took my time, and da-da-da-da. I said, okay, so where do you want to go from here? I said, because right now, we can't offer you a position that's going to be paid. Mm-hmm. If you want to come here and learn from us, you know, then you can intern. We'll give you school, you know, school credit.
Well, I was going to give her an internship with a stipend. I was going to give her a stipend to get to and from work. Mm-hmm. Little, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't going to be a regular wage, but.
Right. Something to say, you know, like, I got something under my belt.
So I said, you got our numbers. Get back to me. We'll give you a few weeks. I'll give you till next week. Get back to me. Let me know what you want to do. Next week came, she didn't call. She comes into the restaurant with her friends or whatever case may be.
They came for dinner.
So I go snatch it up and said, come on, let's go talk real quick. I said, I haven't heard from you. I said, so what's going on? Well, I spoke to my mother, and my mother knows I can cook. And she said, and so I'm going to be honest with you, I was insulted. So now I lean in. I'm like,
insulted?
What was you insulted about? Well, because, you know, I told y'all that I could cook, and then, you know, you got me chopping the onions
and chopping up this and the third.
And I, you know, and I want, you know, I thought that I would, you know, just come in here and be on the line and do brunch and put out food. No. I said, sweetheart, let me say something to you. I said, my internship, and I did not get paid, you know where I was at? In the basement with Mexicans, chopping up cases, not fucking 4 and 5, cases of onions, cases of mushrooms, fabricating cases of chicken, fabricating cases of salmon, prepping for, like, are you kidding me right now? I said, this is the problem with you young millennials right now. You go to school, you know, you go in this craft, you feel that you know everything. And you haven't even finished the program.
Right.
I said, what do you want to be at the end of this? Like, you're in school to be what? I want to be a restaurant consultant. I said, okay. So you want to come straight out of school and be a restaurant consultant.
And telling me how to run my business.
Right. I said, so let me ask you a question. Do you know food courts?
No.
She was like,
No.
I said, break down a food course for me. I said, okay. Here's a plate. You got steak, potatoes, asparagus. Break down all those costs for me and tell me what my profit, what I should make profit margin-wise from that plate. What it costs you and what you're going to charge the customer for that plate. Break that down for me right now, Miss Food, you know, Miss Restaurant Consultant. She couldn't.
She was like 21.
She was 20, And I'm just like, where y'all getting this mindset? But this is who's on Instagram.
Well, the other piece to that is that to back track about what we're talking about and where the industry has went. Nobody's putting in the work and the research anymore. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is, you know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, we had a conversation the other day. I was like, yo, it's like the studio. You know what I mean? When I came up through the 90s, everybody was in the studio. Everybody was making a rap album. Everybody was making a demo.
Right.
Or whatever,
right.
Whatever. Because Soulja Boy said that it was okay to make his own beats on his laptop.
Right.
And he started pushing that shit out to the world. And I'm just not picking on Soulja, but saying in general, you know, or Puff came out with Bad Boy Records and everybody thought that they could come up with their own record label and shit like that. And everybody's just, so it's that same effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now it's like everybody feels like they could cook. Everybody feels, yo, girl, your fried chicken is amazing. Now she a chef.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now she's on Instagram. Right. Come to my house between 4 and 6 on Sunday and I got and pick it up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I think right now what's happening is you're seeing a trend of younger chefs, quote unquote, that feel as if they can just do it. They don't need no time, they need no research, nothing. They can just call themselves whatever they want to call it, and they can just do it. And I think what's happening is, and again, I'm not totally against that. I think I love the hustle, but I love it when I see people who are doing that, that actually know what they're doing.
They have a passion behind
it. And having a passion behind it, and not just somebody who's doing it because that's the new wave hustle for right now.
Right.
Yeah, like, I think being a chef is the new drug dealer.
Right. Or like
it's a new drug dealer.
I was just thinking about, you know, the girl that sold candies in school. That's what it is.
Right.
I sell plates. I got cakes. I got
right.
I got whatever you need.
Yams, pans, potatoes,
I got edibles too.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And then I got pouches. I got pouches with drinks. Like I get you your whole kit and caboodle right here.
Oh yeah, I was in a hair salon and the chick came in there with liquored spiked healthy juices.
What?
Spiked smoothies. I'm like, what's a spiked smoothie? Okay, so it's supposed to be healthy.
All the calories
it's supposed to be healthy, but now you add liquor to it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just hope that it takes I really feel as if just like in any industry, the game is gonna come back.
Right.
It is.
The true chef, the true culinarian, the true person with passion and so forth and so on, it's all gonna come back. It's all gonna make a full circle. You know what I'm saying? I just hope that this wave is not dummying down the consumer so much that when it does come back.
Well, who knows let me what the hell's say this. Happen. If Instagram ever goes away, everybody's fired. Everybody done lost their damn job.
I mean, it's true. And I
think everybody lost their job.
I think that people also, like nowadays, like they're expecting more. I don't know where it came from, but they're expecting more out of the experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, cool. And it's okay. And not everybody says something. Like, we talk about that all the time in the restaurant life. Not everyone's going to say something. So, you may come and you may have an okay experience. And guess what? I don't need to complain because it wasn't bad. But I'm not just about to keep going back. So, you might be good now because I liked it once because that's what I ordered. But before I knew that it was good or bad, and then now it's bad, I'm not going to go back to your page and unlike it.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't forget I already liked it because I'm unfollowing you now.
Right.
But my like is still there, so it looked like you did it, you know, shablam. It looks good.
The shablam.
Shablam. Shablam. It looks good.
But that's a new culinary term.
The shablam.
And that means what?
There it is.
That shit is all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? A little salt bay with it. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to wrap it up. I think this was a great conversation. Yeah. Chef Kim, any final thoughts?
I think the next episode we gotta talk about money, like finances in the culinary industry. Why so many chefs of color don't know numbers?
That's a whole other episode.
I feel that you're in this field to make money and run a business, but if you don't know numbers, how are you really running your business?
I was always told, Henry, if you don't know the score, how are you going to win the game?
Agreed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Facts. So, yeah, we're going to have that as another topic for the podcast. Ryel, final thoughts?
I'm just, like I said, glad to be in the space. It's definitely needed. I can't wait till we get to that topic because it comes back to something I said earlier about people not wanting to be work for the man and understand because it's just another schooling, if you will.
Another education.
Like I said, super excited, see what...
You know, and like this platform, I feel it's here to educate. It's for us to learn as well. For us to learn from people, when people start to call and give us their insight and stuff like that. But, it's just for us as a community to come together and understand this whole hospitality and industry from every point. From your job to catering to executive chef to private chef to opening a restaurant to all these different things.
Got
so
it.
I'm gonna
try
some light on that.
My final thought is one of my favorite rappers, Nasty Nas. He once came out with a platform and said, "Hip hop is dead." You know what I'm saying? And I'm just wondering, is the culinary game dead? Is the chef game dead? You know what I'm saying? Can we save it out here? Can we make it better? You know what I mean? This platform is here, like we said, to expose. You know what I mean? To elaborate. And then to educate. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk a lot of shit on here, but enough respect to all chefs in the industry. It takes a lot to do what we do. You know what I'm saying? But with this shit, this shit. You know what I mean? With this smoke, this fire. So we got to call it how we see it. Yes, so,
all right, everybody out there. It's time to go eat.
Yes. Yeah, we about to go break some bread.
I really liked this episode. You know what I'm saying? It was the first one. This was the maiden voyage, into Chef Gang Podcast. And I was very satisfied, very thrilled, just good just to hear and see so many things that you just never really get privy to, So just to see that and have that first convo was very, very interesting. So that was our very first episode. That was my first filming and editing for Chef Gang Podcast. And so this is the first episode Director's Cut. There's a lot more to come. Hope you stay tuned. Share this, like this. Tell your friends on all your social media, Facebook, Instagram, all of that, Twitter. And with that being said, we're out of here. Next installment is going to be very, very dope. That one will be She Chef. I'll decide which one I want to do. I don't know if I want to do She Chef or if I want to do Farm to Table. Yeah.